Blog Talk Radio.
To welcome you to the Warfare Hour
on tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful to be with you again, being back on the podcast. And we're so grateful that the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders have allowed us to be part of the 2012-2013 entourage. And we pray that God will continue to use us and bless us in a mighty way. We generally have a threefold cord, which is not easily broken, but today we have a twofold cord. Hallelujah. God has blessed us. My son in the ministry is here with us again on tonight. We will always be co-hosting, and he is none other than Corey, Prophet Corey Gregg. I'm going to go ahead and let him preach in the way that only he can. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I thank God for being here. I thank God for being saved today. I am Prophet Corey Gregg, and along with Apostle Carlton L. Clark Richardson, we thank God for you being here tonight. We want to thank God for everyone who was instrumental in doing the things that, you know, allow us to be who we are and share with you what God has shared with us. Listen, I want to take time to thank, first and foremost, the Kingdom Daughters, Prophets Teresa, Evangelist Hannah, the intercessors who continue on the wall for us.
Hallelujah.
We thank you. You have no idea how much we appreciate you, and we thank God for you and how much we pray for you. I want to thank God for Living Way Christian Center Family, with our father in the ministry, Apostle Leonard Emmons. We want to thank God for this house of worship, this house of prayer. Well, I want to thank God for Warriors for Christ, House of Prayer Church International Ministry, well, church ministry. He just got a long name. Look, if I mess up, he's lying. He got a long name. He'll leave it on. No. But I thank God for the man I affectionately call Dad. Not that I forsake my biological lineage, but my spiritual lineage holds just as much weight in my life as my biological lineage. And this man has truly, truly been a father figure in my life. I have truly grown in so many ways because of this man of God, Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson. That's Carlton with a K and two N's. Yes. I want to thank God for the Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries family.
Amen.
Who consistently prays with and for me as we stand on the wall to keep the Kingdom of God advancing. So, and without any more delays, let's get down to business.
Amen, amen. As always, we request that you would take out your favorite article of writing or expounding on what it is that you're going to be hearing. We pray that God will give us a mighty message, mighty word for you on tonight. However, we do recognize and like to remind you that the podcast, you can always come back and listen to the podcast because they do record. We're blessed to have them to record the podcast, especially when we give us some true grit stuff that bears witness to the word. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to, as always, ask you to pray this prayer with us. Open thy mine eyes.
Open thy mine eyes.
That I may behold.
That I may behold.
The wondrous things.
The wondrous things.
Out of thy law.
Out of thy law.
That's Psalms 119, verse 18. Mm-hmm. Basically asking God to let, to open your eyes so that you can understand what the word as it is brought forth. Your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears, your spiritual consciousness, so that you can see what's going on with them. And we encourage you to develop a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for really that is the only way. We do recognize that some of you may be hearing the podcast for the first time. We pray, but we also recognize that we have a lot of seasoned listeners on the air. And we do say some controversial things. And the reason I say it's controversial is because sometimes we don't know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so when you hear some things on the radio, on the podcast, on TV or whatever, we encourage you to study. See, we have a philosophy at the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International. And we believe that, first of all, failure is not an option. Even though there's times when we may put ourselves in a situation of doubt, we try to quickly repent of that by recognizing that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. The reason that we believe that is because we do believe that over in Proverbs, where it tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to lean not to our own understanding. We believe that in all our ways that we will acknowledge God and that he will lead, guide, and direct our paths. We believe that those paths are righteous paths, more than one path. And we recognize that as long as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all the other things that we desire will be added unto us. We truly believe that.
Hallelujah.
We also believe in the fivefold ministry. We believe in the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists. We believe that they all work together for the perfect good. We believe that how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We believe in Psalms 133 and how it talks about the fullness of the anointing that flows down from God, down all the way down our body, all the way down our head, all the way down our beard, even giving it. Read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. I love to talk about Psalms 133 because we're talking about unity,
right.
Unity of the church. We recognize also that, unfortunately, many in the church do not believe in some of the fivefold gifts, but we do practice those gifts that's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, as well as chapter 13, verse 2. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And we recognize that God has given us many, many gifts. And we believe that everybody has access to the gifts that they desire. We believe that we are an apostolic church. That means not the kind that just believe in Jesus only, the name of Jesus only. We believe in studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. And we're giving you some good fodder so that you can understand, because when we start, we pray that the Holy Spirit would always lead, guide, and direct us. And so we come to you with the fullness and with a courage and a boldness that may be unlike anything that you are used to. We pray that you are used to it, and we pray that we stick to our guns and that you will continue to come and visit us. Because we believe, say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, chapter verse 35 and verse 37 through verse 39. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, what I'd like to say to you is, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, which is our prayer from Jeremiah 29 chapter verse 11 through verse 14. I'm reading from the Amplified, and then I'm going to turn it over to the prophet because he got something real special for us tonight. Amen.
Man.
For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Amen.
Man.
For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. To give you hope in your final outcome. Then, verse 12, you will call upon me. And you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Verse 13, then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity. It's about establishing that relationship with him. And find me when you search for me with all your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 through verse 30 is the scripture which verifies verse 13. But here is verse 14. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just go over that. You know, we every week we try to give you encouraging words through that scripture because it's imperative for us to recognize that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the key to all that we look for. When we look to him for guidance, when we look to the scriptures and study, put ourselves in a position of communing with him, he says, I will be found by you. He wants, you know, when you was a kid, we had this game called hide and seek. Remember that? Hide and go seek. You count to 100 or the 20 or the 25, whatever it is. You call the way you live. If you lived in a place where there was a lot of hiding places, you would probably count to 100. But if you didn't have but a couple of hiding places like we did growing up in the Laney Project, who shout out for the Laney in Gary, Indiana. I mean the City of Glory, Indiana. There wasn't a whole lot of places to hide, so we might have counted to 20. And then we went looking for you. Well, here it's telling them to say, I will be found. Like, I will be found. See, sometimes when people saw you coming, they would run down the street or around the corner, and then they'd run back to the safe spot and hit the tree or whatever, and then you had to be the one. You know, you couldn't be the one to look. You had to be the one to hide. But here the Lord is not hiding from us. He said, you will be found. I will be found by you. Then it says, I will release you from captivity. In all the scriptures that we talked about earlier, we were talking about how we can and what we will be able to do to seek kingdom-mindedness, to seek freedom, to seek those things that we desire and how we are to obtain those things. And here he's saying, I'm going to release you from captivity. That's the captivity of our mind. As our mind, when Jesus came back to the earth to right the wrong of the first Adam, when he came to be the last Adam, he came to set us free from the captivity of enslavement of our mind. Because, see, we were one with God. Remember, we were talking about unity. And I'm trying not to go into the thing yet because the man of God wants to introduce, but I believe you'll be able to understand it once he takes the reins. But here it says in verse 14, I will be found by you. I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations. The nations are the places where our mind travels to. As a kid, you may remember some tall adventures that you had in your mind. We used to read certain books, Huckleberry Finn, and different books that we, you know, thought was classics at the time, and we imagined going to faraway places and doing these extraordinary things. Unfortunately, some of those extraordinary things were filled with sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know it at the time. We just was looking at what we saw on TV. We was looking at the things that we thought were the truth. We was watching shows like Bewitched. We didn't know that that was a magical thing. We started really like looking for magical things. We looked at I Dream of Jeannie. We looked at Barnabas Collins, and that's why the fascination right now is with Twilight and vampires and the occult, things where the moon is the dominant power. And so that's where our mind is captivated. You know, right now there's a game called Halo, I believe it is. All of the games that's on that you can get to play with your Wii and your PlayStation and Xbox are all combat-oriented or some kind of magic-oriented movies. Warcraft, Harry Potter, the series on Harry Potter movies and Lord of the Rings and so many just movies with wizards, warlocks, and demonic. They want to keep you captivated in fantasy, not reality. And I'm still not going to the pain because the man of God is sitting there chomping at the bits. But here again, verse 14, it says, I have driven you, I will gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I have driven you. The reason he says, I have driven you, because he has always allowed us through free will to do what we want to do. But he always tries to drive us back toward the center lane. But what happens is, because of the free will, sometimes you have to get that hook like they did on the old movies and just hook you.
Sometimes
you'll
follow.
Yeah, sometimes it'll follow and just snatch you back because you couldn't jump off the edge of a cliff. But men and women of God, we pray tonight that the word that God has given us will keep you from going too far to the left or too far to the right, to stay as close to the center line of being in and with Christ as possible. Hallelujah. Glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the man of God has a word for you all tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is just great and greatly to be praised. The word of the Lord is simple tonight. It is so simple. It's a back-to-basics word from the Lord. I don't in any way take credit for this word, because this is not the word of Corey. This is the word of the Lord, and I will give him all glory for this word. Listen, the word of the Lord is simple tonight. The word of the Lord is true, and the word of the Lord is simple. It is this: no other God. We don't want in any way to be remiss, to be scared about what we just said. No other God. Let me explain to you. As I'm going to give you time to get there. The Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. I was going to stay there, but I really believe that it is necessary for you to hear this entire passage. It's not long, just verses 4 through 9. It's not long. It's not long at all. But we're going to get down to some meat tonight about the fact that it's simple. God is tired of idolatry in and out of the church. Mm-hmm. That simple. God is tired of idolatry both in and out of the church. There are some scripture references, but there's so many scripture references dealing with idols and idolatry that we will not have time to finish this in one session. So as the Lord sees fit, we will come back to it, but we're going to deal with a couple of scriptures tonight, a couple of scripture verses and references tonight. And I believe I've talked long enough for everyone to get to Deuteronomy. Of course, if you don't know, Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Old Testament, the fifth book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth. It's the sixth chapter, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Can we do this real quick? Hallelujah. The word of the Lord reads, "Hear, O Israel," and I'm going to read this in the King James, and then for some different understanding, we'll read it in the Amplified. Listen. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now that ought to be, that's enough right there. But we're going to keep going because that's enough. "The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Let me read that in the Amplified before we move any further. Oh, okay. Oh, the apostle's going to read that in the Amplified.
Amen. Beginning at verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the only Lord." Verse 5. It should be a Selah right there. It should be a Selah right there, which means thou. Did y'all get that?
"The Lord our God."
"Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the only Lord." We almost can stop there. Verse 5. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with your entire being and with all your might." Verse 6. "And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then," verse 7, "you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children."
Hallelujah.
"And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, verse 8, and ye shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets, forehead bands, between your eyes. Wow. Verse 9, and you shall write them upon the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe that is a self-explanatory situation right there. Our God is one God. That's it. He is the only Lord. It was so impressive. That was actually something that was spoken as a confirmation from chapter 5. Because chapter 5 reiterates the law that was stated in Exodus chapter 20, which is what we know as the Ten Commandments. And the very, very first one is, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Now, here's what we get to the meat. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water beneath the earth. Now, this is chapter 5, verses 6, 7, 8, and 8. Now, verse 9 is where I'm going to stop. It says, thou shalt not bow thyself down unto them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Who are them that hate God? Those who practice idolatrous worship. Those who worship any God outside of the God of the Bible. Yahweh Jehovah. Yeah, I'm about to get there, because this is all heavy stuff. Listen. And showing mercy. This is verse 10. Because you know we ain't gonna just leave you hanging like that. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
You got to
read that out of the Amplified.
Okay, read it out of the Amplified. Okay, now verse 10 out of the Amplified really hits home. It says, and showing mercy and steadfast love to thousands and to a thousand generations.
Wow.
Of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, just in verse 9, it says, you shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. He is so tough that what he's going to put down as a judgment to the third and fourth generation is so tough that you don't even want to be part of that. But if you to do it his way, he's going to show mercy and steadfast love to a thousand of your generations. A thousand of your generations. That's unbelievable.
But, you know, because it's God, it's still unbelievable. But, you know, it's just incredible. Right. You get three to four generations past you get the wrath of God. But a thousand generations past you get the love of God and the mercy of God.
You know, when we started, we said, who should separate us
from the love of God?
That's the way we started out. We didn't know. I mean, I know you didn't know where I was going.
No, I didn't. But that's all right, because everything works together for good.
Damn,
to love God and to then love all according to his purpose.
And when you purpose yourself to love God and know that God, that you should love the Lord your God. Now, we're not saying that God is just your God. He's our God. But what I'm saying to you is if you love the Lord your God, which simply means you keep, Jesus even confirmed this scripture when he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's Jesus saying it plainly. Those who love me keep my commandments. Matter of fact, even in John, when he was what I like to call snapping on the people of Israel, especially the Pharisees and all, who wanted to bring that woman who was caught in adultery, he went smooth off on these people by telling them that if you truly love me, you will keep my commandments. The Lord right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 said to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your might. And in verse 5, he was saying, if you keep his commandment, matter of fact, I'm going to confirm that one for you. Can we keep moving? Because here's the thing. This is going to be so much. There's going to be so much information. There's so much in this. That this is going to be crazy. Listen. If you keep the commandment of God, go with me to Leviticus. That's two books backward. Two books backward. Leviticus chapter 26. I was reading this and the Lord just began to really, really, really mess with me with this one. I'm going to only read you. I'm going to read you the first part, but I might have to continue down for a little bit because there is such an awesome thing. God deals so heavily with not worshiping anybody but him that he continues to show you the blessing in not worshiping anybody but him. So this is what I'm talking about right here. Listen, Leviticus chapter 26, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified because I really want there to be some understanding in this one. This is absolutely bonkers right here. Listen, the Bible says in verse 1, you shall make for yourself no idols, nor shall you erect any graven or a graven image, pillar, or obelisk. Now, if you don't know what an obelisk is, if you think about the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., that is known as an obelisk. It's just a big tower that's supposed to be standing as a monument, but it's really something that is supposed to be worshipped.
There is one more, but there's others.
There's others.
There's another one at the Vatican.
Yeah.
Where the Pope.
Right.
Which is the papal apostle, supposedly.
Right, he's supposed to be in the direct lineage of Peter.
Direct lineage, right. For the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
You know.
Right. But there's, I mean, and for the church to have an obelisk of that, right, that lets you know that there is something that is that they are operating more than just worshiping. But I'm always, anyway, let's move forward. Let's move forward. The Bible says, nor shall you, we're still in verse 1 now, nor shall you place any figured stone in your land. Now what that means is if you look at historical art, they carve images out of stone. They carve images out of stone. They call it art. They call it sculptures. They call them sculptures and statues. That's what they call it. So basically, there should be no statue in your land. That is a grave or that is dedicated to anything. Is a statue. It's a stone carving. It's a figured stone, Mount Rushmore. My God, there should be none. And America, if I can be so bold, America is one of the most idol-ridden lands in the entire world. Between Washington, D.C., South Dakota, and all the towns in between, New York, Massachusetts, Memphis, Tennessee, I mean, it goes on and on. Los Angeles, California. Come on, that is like, that's demon central, right? I mean, Seattle, Washington.
Oh, my God.
There are so, Las Vegas, Nevada. Come on, they call Las Vegas Sin City. People of God, let's think about it. New Orleans, Louisiana. My God, today, there are so many different areas in the United States of America that house idolatrous worship.
We gotta change.
There are statues and stone carvings and monuments, and I mean, there are so many different symbols of idolatrous worship in this country that you wonder why we're in the state we're in. And I'm not speaking politically, I'm speaking spiritually. You wonder why we're in the state we're in as a country, why we're so divided between, even in politics, why we're divided. Why we're divided in ethnicity, why we're divided in gender, why we're divided in social status. Why are we so divided? Because we are a nation of idolaters. This is a nation of idolaters. And let's dig in. The music we listen to is full of idol worship.
Hallelujah. This is a very controversial time because we have placed so much emphasis in
money
areas that we often don't realize that we are caught up in the idolatry.
That's right.
I know the man of God talked to me a little bit before the podcast, and we were talking about a lot of the shows that's on
American Idol
that's on right now. And we're talking about, I know some of my pastor friends that on Facebook, they love to watch the various idol shows.
The Voice, X Factor.
The ones they've even got gospel shows where, you know, I always wonder if you're gonna have a gospel idol or whatever, who's the judge?
Oh.
Is God the judge?
Is Christ the judge?
But we recognize that everybody's not gonna be popular with what we're saying right now because we don't recognize that. We say, you know, it's just some entertainment. No, what is happening is we have been bamboozled.
Who are we?
We have been
led astray,
and we have allowed these things into our consciousness as familiar spirits.
Yep.
And we've talked about that so many times in the past. We talked about obelisk. We talked about the different gateways that sin is able to get into our lives. And what happens is you really have to be aware of those things that are around you, the things that are happening to cause you to go away from the consciousness of Christ. And many of us really truly believe that we have a great relationship with Christ, but I really hope that Christ don't come no time real soon because it may not be a whole lot of folks making it because the church that he left here is not the church that's here now. And we have to repent and renounce so many things out of our life. I have a prayer of renouncement that I would like to pray with you in just a few minutes. We're going to give it back to the man of God because there's a few other things that need to be placed into your consciousness so that you can recognize and hopefully agree to renounce some things out of your life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Can I do this real quick before I get back to the scripture? I want to give you a couple of definitions real quick. I want to give you a couple of definitions, actually three to be exact. And I want you to hear the similarity between two of the three, okay? The first word I want to define for you is the word icon, I-C-O-N, icon. The word icon is defined as an image crafted by humans, Selah. Which means pause and reflect on this.
Think about it for a minute.
Just for a minute. It's an image. I'm not even finished with the definition. This is the first part of the definition. An image crafted, the word crafted, of course, means made, created by humans. Now, crafted by humans to symbolize or be reminiscent, excuse me, of something cherished, worshipped, or observed as a deity. For those of us who do not know what the word deity means, it means it's a synonym for the word God, little g. A small sentence, there's a period after the word deity, and then we're starting a new sentence. A small scale model of a life size object. That's what an icon is. Now, now I'm going to define for you the word idol, I-D-O-L, idol. Idol is defined as an object, being, creature. Now, there's commas after object, being, and creature, or place worshipped, comma, trusted, comma, and relied on as a god. Selah. Selah, which means to think or to pause and think about it.
Right.
Reflect on that. Listen, an icon, if you didn't write it down, an icon. And it was crafted by humans to symbolize or be reminiscent of something cherished, worshipped, or observed as a deity. A small-scale model of a life-sized object, okay? It's something made by human beings to be worshipped. That's what an icon is. Something made by or created by human beings, an image made by human beings to be worshipped. An idol, we're not even finished with the entire definition of idol. I just want to give you this. I'll just give you the first part. An idol, let's start over so we can get this written down. An object, comma, being, comma, creature, comma, or place worshipped, comma, trusted, comma, and relied on as a god, little g. Now, there's a period after the word God. Ideals, this is the second sentence in the second part of the definition. Ideals, I-D-E-A-L-S, comma, concepts, comma, doctrines, comma, and beliefs of a religion, of a religious nature invented or concocted in the human psyche of the worshiper can also be contrived as idols. Let me say that again. Ideals, concepts, doctrines, and beliefs of a religious nature invented or concocted in the human psyche of the worshiper can also be contrived as idols. Now, those are the first two definitions I wanted to give you. I'm going to give you a third one, but this is the first two definitions. Do you hear the similarities between icon and idol?
Hallelujah.
Idol has a little something different to it, but that's all right because primarily an icon and an idol are the same thing.
Buddha is an idol. Let's just see that. Buddha is an idol. It's an icon. See, we talk about how we want to be iconic. We want to be icon. So you want to be worshipped. When you say things like that, what you're saying is you want to be an image created by human beings to be worshipped. Makes you think about calling yourself an icon again. We always, you know, you hear these rappers talking about, I want to be an icon. We hear people talk about Michael Jackson as an icon. Or all these other, you know, entertainers as icons. Well, that means this image of this person has been created by the public. That includes the media. In order for them to be revered, to be worshipped. So when you start calling rappers and singers and dancers and actors icons, you're calling them images of worship, which means you're calling them gods, deities, and they're just not that powerful. They don't have that kind of power in your life. Not that kind of power. Idols. Hey, you're saying that idols, you know, when we talk about idols, we're talking about things that are concocted, that are created. Idols and icons.
It's better word than
No. No. I can't, but you know what? The original definition of the word demon, it deals with freedom. It was just, I can go there. But I want to give you the third word. We'll deal with that next time we go over this subject. The third word I want to give you is idolatry. Idolatry. I-D-O-L-A-T, and I'm going to say that again, R-Y. I-D, as in David, O-L-A-T-R-Y. I really, really restrain myself because there are so many things I want to say that are idols, that we don't really know are idols, that we walk around with every single day, and we just don't know they're idols. But some of the things that I can say if I say them. So I'm going to move on from there to give you the definition of idolatry. All right, the word idolatry is defined as worship of another god, little g, or of objects, comma, symbols, that's the symbol with an S, S-Y-M-B-O-L-S, comma, because I had it confused for a while in my time growing up. I thought they were the same thing. So, you know, I'm sympathetic. Amen. Comma. People. Comma. Accomplishments. Comma. Concepts. There's that word again from idol. Concepts. Comma, and ideals considered superior to that of the worshiper. Period. Next sentence. Devotion and veneration, which is spelled because, look, you know, I'm not naive. We as human beings don't know how to spell everything. So I believe as a teacher,
amen.
What you might not know how to spell, we're gonna help. Amen. This is nothing but help. V as in Victor, E, N as in Nathan, E R, A, T as in Tom, I, O N as in Nathan. Veneration. So devotion and veneration given to representations
of the same. In other words, devotion and veneration given to representations of another god, objects, symbols, people, accomplishments, concepts, and ideals considered superior to that of the worshiper. So devotion and veneration are synonymous words. They're synonyms. So if you devote yourself to, or you constantly, veneration is kind of like bragging on. To venerate is like to brag on, to speak almost adoringly.
Okay.
If you adore, you know, you can say, I adore you. Well, you're venerating somebody, which caused them to become an idol in your life. And there should be nobody that you adore outside of our God. So veneration belongs to nobody but God. Hallelujah. Last sentence, and I'm gonna let the man of God come in because I know he got something to go at. Last sentence. Obeisance. That is O B as in boy, E I S as in Sam, A N as in Nathan, C E. Obeisance. It's just like to obey or obedience. And subservience. S as in Sam, U, B as in boy, F as in Sam, E, R, V as in Victor, I, E, N as in Nathan, C, E. Obedience and subservience paid to a deity or objects and places governed by a false god.
Men and women of God, remember now, we're talking about thou shalt have no other God before me. Not what about me. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Putting yourself in a position to worship God is the best place that you can be. And God has told us in the scriptures that we read earlier, that he is a jealous God, that he basically ain't gonna stand for you giving props to another God.
Okay.
All through the scriptures, he allowed the prophets or the various men of God to use the authority and the anointing and the power that was his to show that the other gods didn't have, like we used to say back in the day, didn't have the juice, okay? And he really wants us to put ourselves in a position of no nonsense. Now, let's get down to some brass tactics. We recognize that in life, living life on life terms, you know, we're not talking about not to admire someone for their good works. You know, they've gone above and beyond what we see as day-to-day Joe or Blow. You know, you got people that cook for folks, you know, and they don't want nothing back. They just want to help people out, you know. But see, In the kingdom of God, that's our reasonable say.
That's right.
So what has happened is we are venerating or giving homage to people that are undeserving. Now, what has happened is if someone that we like the way their voice is, oh, that's my song. Oh, that's my girl. Oh, that's my dude. And, you know, we're like go to blows for them, and they don't even know us.
Right.
They know absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, if you run up on them, talk about that's your dude or whatever, they're going to have some big belly
or girl,
some kind of bodyguard that will keep you from them. I recall
with any kind of celebrity, and here's what you have to take a look at as well. With any kind of celebrity, meaning if folks know who you are, they want to get to where you are. And the more popular you get and the more profound you get, the harder it's going to be for you to be a normal dude or do that if you're a girl. Okay, I'm just messing around with you a little bit there. You got to have a sense of humor in this day and time. But what happens is that's what we want. We want that notoriety. We want to be noticed.
That's right.
And, you know, you say, well, what's wrong with that, Apostle? I'm glad you asked. actually, nothing's wrong with that. And here's where I'm going with that. If you want a whole lot of it, something wrong with it.
Right.
Because that's a greedy thing. It's a covetousness. It puts you in a position of where you want to be more than you are. In other words, you want to exalt yourself above others. Now, the problem is there were some angels that tried that long time ago. You know, the anointed cherub that covered, I think his name was Lucifer, got tired of folks always praising God because whenever he came in the room,
right.
You know, see, God made him beautiful and placed all these things on him
so that he could be ushering the glory of God. Well, when he did that, it was very difficult for him to remember that they weren't worshiping him, but that they were worshiping God. And so he got beside himself, and he starts saying things like he's going to exalt himself above the high seat or the Most High.
And we can put ourselves in the same situation. We can do that just as easily because it's a sin nature. And so I was saying that there's a prayer of renouncement that puts you in a position of recognizing that things may not go your way. If you would,
see life for a minute, pause, think, reflect on the things that you may have done, just from the few definitions that we've given. I'm going to just pray this prayer of renouncement. If you agree, you can say it out loud at your home. You can repeat it after me, or you can say it silently. And you please come back to the podcast and listen to it. This is a prayer of renouncement. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you are the only way to God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I give up all my rebellion and independence, my pride and self-centeredness, my harboring of rejection and inferiority, and my bitterness and unforgiveness. I give up all my sin. And I submit myself to you. I confess all my sins before you and ask for your forgiveness. Release me now from the power of the enemy of my soul by a decision of my will. I forgive all who have harmed me or wronged me. Just as I want you to forgive me, in particular, I forgive and you say that one person that you know you need to forgive. Lord Jesus, I believe that on the cross you paid the price for me to have a life of victory and freedom. I receive your gift of deliverance now. Through Christ Jesus, I now pull down every stronghold built up in my life by the enemy, Satan, the devil, Lucifer. In particular, I pull down strongholds of, name one or two of them, because you know what's in your life. You pull down two strongholds. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I pull down these strongholds. I renounce the power of Satan in my life. By faith, I now receive my release. And I thank you, God, for it. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Let's give the Lord a praise.
Yes, hallelujah.
You will renounce some stuff out of your life. But see, now we're talking about idols.
Yes.
We're talking about giving up sin. We're talking about doing the things that's going to cause you to be giving God the praise for everything. The man of God got a few things before we open up some lines, because we want to make sure that you get a chance to talk with us tonight. But the man of God said he got one or two more things he needs to say.
One more thing. The Bible says, we're going to go back to 26. Leviticus 26. We're going back to 26. Because I really want to give you this blessing that God is going to give you it once you make this covenant with him. Once we all as believers begin to walk in the covenant of that prayer that was just prayed. Listen, real quick. Leviticus 26, you shall make for yourself no idols, nor shall you erect a graven image, pillar, or obelisk, nor shall you place any figured stone in your land, to which or on which to bow down, for I am the Lord your God. Listen, you shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. This is verse 2 out of Leviticus 26. Verse 3 says, if you walk, this is the part I want, because you know we're not going to leave you hanging. This is the part right here. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field yield their fruit. And your threshing time shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage time shall reach to the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. I will give you peace in the land. You shall lie down, and none shall fill you with dread or make you afraid. And I will clear ferocious or wild beasts out of the land, and no sword shall go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will be leaning toward you with favor and regard for you, rendering you fruitful, multiplying you, and establishing and ratifying my covenant with you. I could go on. If you read chapter 26 all the way through, this is such a grand blessing. It keeps going for a while. It keeps going for a while. It goes all the way down to verse 16. Yeah. It goes down to verse 15. Verse 15. But, you know, you want to read the rest of it because it talks about if you break the covenant, too. But that's a whole nother lesson coming up next time. But God be praised.
I wanted to at least read verse all the way down to verse 9, because verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, they just really talk about a grand covenant that God has made that will be nothing, will be full of nothing but blessing if you just take the time to honor the Lord, to honor the Lord with all your heart. Remember, hear, O church, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Can we pray? Prophetic prayer for a new beginning. And I believe that dealing with the law of God, the Shema of God, is a great place to start.
Amen.
For a new beginning. Amen. When I say in Jesus' name, you say in Jesus' name, because I'm standing in the gap with you and for you. And you stand in the gap for you and for me and with me. And every time I say in Jesus' name, you say in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. As I start this program, O Lord, empower me to bring it to a perfect end in Jesus' name. Blood of Jesus, arise and fight me until the last enemy of my destiny is dead in Jesus' name. Any power that has vowed to hinder me from starting well, fall down and die in Jesus' name. I pour out the blood of Jesus into my foundation in the name of Jesus. Any power assigned to hinder me from the beginning, die in Jesus' name. Spirit of the living God, move upon my life and perfect the works of my hands in Jesus' name. Every altar of my Father's house working against my destiny, be uprooted by thunder in Jesus' name. Any evil power polluting my foundation, fall down and die in Jesus' name. Every arrow of my family, idol, working against my life, backfire in Jesus' name. Let me read that again. Every arrow of my family idol working against my life, backfire in Jesus' name. Any power designed to spoil my present efforts, collapse and die in Jesus' name. Let all the demonic terror working against my present efforts die in Jesus' name. Any evil power of my Father's house that has vowed that I will never start anything good or any good thing, die in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost fire, purge my foundation and start a new thing in my life in Jesus' name. Every witchcraft attack against my next beginning be frustrated in the mighty name of Jesus. Every circle of hardship that is preventing me from starting a new thing, break in the name of Jesus. Every voice of the enemy speaking against my beginning, be silenced in the name of Jesus. Every seed of fear planted into my foundation, die in the name of Jesus. Any power of thine to stand against new projects in my life, die in the name of Jesus Christ. Any marine spirit problem fighting against my new beginning, die in the name of Jesus. Any power pursuing me up and down from the place of my beginning, die in the name of Jesus. Every evil sacrifice offered to hinder me from making progress, expire in Jesus' name. Power to start a new thing, possess me by force. In the name of Jesus,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, O God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On yesterday was a blessed day. It's a day that won't come again for 100 years. 12/12/2012, or 12/12/12. That is a spiritual significance to that. Is we pray now that you will go ahead and open up the lines, and then we're going to just talk about that just for a minute. The number 12 in spiritually is a divine, governmental, and apostolic fullness meaning. And, you know, we pray for all of our leaders. We pray for those that are in leadership, particularly in the governmental leadership of the kingdom-mindedness that we so graciously talk about. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the fivefold ministry. And this is our portion. This is our season to go forth and to be that vessel for God. We pray that we've been a blessing to you all tonight. We're going to give you an opportunity to come on. We know that we pray that Sister Tammy is available to give some announcements or whoever is going to give announcements for tonight. But we pray that the lines are now open. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Good evening. Good evening. This is Sister Tammy, Apostle Clark. Good evening. Good evening, Brother Corey, Apostle Corey, Prophet Corey, and Prophet Matthew, if he's on the line as well. I just want to thank you all again for coming on the line and teaching God's word tonight. And as you do every time I listen to you all elevate me and uplift me with the Spirit of God. And inspire me to keep going and keep moving. And I thank you, Prophet Corey, for the end scriptures that you read to us. And the ending prayer that you read to us, that we agreed in covenant with you in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you all. I thank you all. And I miss seeing you, Apostle Clark, at the ministry. I have been challenged with some illnesses and some stresses, but thank God he brought me through them, so I will be seeing you again Sunday. And to announce with Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters, we're having our upcoming conference April 25th, 26th, and 27th in the Detroit area. Stay tuned for more information, and we are also having an upcoming empowerment and a prophetic conference in October of 2013. So keep listening, keep tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, and we do have Kingdom Daughters 6 days a week now at 5 a.m. Central Standard Time. Come on, join with us in prayer as early risers and come before our Heavenly Father's throne together. In Jesus' name, you all stay in faith, brothers, and it's really, really good to hear from you all tonight again. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, too, Sister Tammy. We recognize that all those things that put us in a position of seeking God, it just draws us closer to Him. And so we will say that for you not to be worried about or getting weary in your well-doing. In this season, God is going to show you to be the flower and the jewel that you are, and all of those things are going to pass and go by, and they just used to strengthen us. They were a test or a song a few years ago that said it's only a test.
That's right.
We're going through.
That's right.
And keep the faith. Don't give up because it's only a test.
Okay.
And the words to that song truly magnify God, because time is not the same with us as it is with God.
Amen.
And He puts us in a position that we're able to endure. And so we just pray for you that God will continue to keep you in all those things. Amen?
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
lines are open.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. This is Apostle Hillman. How are you all this evening? Good evening, kingdom builders, kingdom daughters. Praise God, Apostle Clark Richardson, Prophet Corey, Sister Tammy, and the rest. Praise God, it's good to hear the word of God going forth. It's great to hear the prayers of the righteous and the encouragement of even released from you all this evening to even to those that are listening, those that are on the air, those that will be listening to podcasts sometime in the near future. We praise God for you, you all being like the Nehemiahs and the Ezras of this day, and we encourage you all to please don't come down. Don't come down off of the wall. Again, it's just a blessing to hear you all again. It's an encouragement, and we trust that even as the word went forth and we all were encouraged to ensure, you know, our place with the Father and not be contaminated by any of the things that the world is advertising, as well as just staying battle fit. Praise God. You know, again, it's such a blessing.
Well, we appreciate that our Father was definitely listening on tonight, and we praise God for you always. You know, you've taught us in so many different ways to acknowledge God, that He will lead and direct our path, and to put us
praise
in a
God,
position of, talked about servitude, you know, and so, you know, putting ourselves in a position to serve, and as we... We appreciate the kind words, Apostle. It definitely encourages us to stay on the wall and continue to go forward.
Amen. It's true,
So, well, praise God, praise God. I mean, I've listened before, so this is not the first time,
but sometimes I have not stayed on the line, but praise God for this evening.
Amen. It's an awesome thing to hear your granddaddy saying you did all right in his own way, to say that you on the right path. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
And I really do say that with sincere humility, because we see you every single day. In a different light than we see most people, and it's an honor to have everyone come on this line who has has said something about this broadcast, saying that we're doing something that glorifies God, and we just thank God that He is continuing us in the right movement, the movement in His glory, not our own.
Amen. Praise God. Prophet, praise God for you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God for you, sir. Praise God for you.
All right.
The lines are still open. We would love to hear from others of you.
Well, this is Sister Tammy again, and hey, it's truly an honor tonight to be on the line with such mighty men of God. My apostle is on the line with us tonight. This is a first, and we've been on the line with you all, Apostle Clark, for many, many, many months. And this is the first time I've heard my apostle on the line with us like this and commented. Now, I know he'd be on the line, but to just outright comment on the line with us, and it is such an honor to be on the line with both of you all three of you all on the line tonight. This is such, it means a lot to me. It means so much to me. It's my history in God, and I am just grateful. God bless you all so much.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, we praise God for all of you being on tonight. We recognize that because we believe that failure is not an option, we do also believe that we need to study. We need to stay in the Word. We need to keep an humble mind, a humble heart, put ourselves in a position to receive. Open up your hands. When your hands are open, you can grab on to something because your hands are open. You know, if something is dropped, you can reach out and you can catch it. But if your hands are closed, and we want you to just make a clenched fist right now, and if you could take the other hand or have somebody in the room trying to pry your fist open, and it takes a lot of energy and a lot of anger and a lot of turmoil to even open up that fist. Nothing can get in and nothing can get out. I've been blessed that I understand that when my hands are open, I can give away what's already been given to me. And that, therefore, I can also receive more. The riches of the wicked are laid up for us, men and women of God, but you can't receive those riches if your fists are clenched tight. We encourage you to serve at your local assembly. We encourage you to study the Word of God and find out some things for yourself. Go to the place that God sends you to. Be faithful to
show yourself approved unto Him, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, right and righteously dividing the word of truth.
Remember we said, open thine mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Be a warrior for Christ. We're going to leave you now. We pray that we've been a blessing to you. The Kingdom Daughters, we glorify the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray for the continued success of the Kingdom Daughters and the Kingdom Elders who have allowed us to come on every week since September of 2011. And we just praise God for the ability to come to you, to share with you some words that God has given to us. And we pray, we ask that you will pray for us. We're going to have Prophet Corey come back on and give you all the contact information. And then we're going to talk to you on next week. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for you. Listen, if you want to talk to us, off the air, you can do it one of several ways, primarily on the computer. You can reach us on Facebook. You can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson. That's Carlton with a K, two N's. You can reach us at Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries. Just go on Facebook and search out Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries and click like on the page. I thank God for those who have recently done so, and I thank God, especially if you're listening, I want to tell you, thank you, thank you, for those who have just added themselves to who we are on at Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries, and there's so much more that we want to do, and we thank God for you partnering with us. We want to say that you can reach the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders at KingdomBuildersPlaza.org. KingdomBuildersPlaza.org. Just come talk to us. Let us know if you have questions, or things of that nature. But you know what? Let me say this real quick. Why don't you come to KingdomBuildersPlaza.org and help Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters partner with them to keep this ministry moving. You know, they do an awesome work for the Lord. keeping something on the air as often as almost 24 hours a day, if not 24 hours a day, just they're doing such an awesome work keeping the word of God flowing.
6 days a week.
6 days a week. Basically 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, they keep the word of God flowing. So why don't you partner with us in partnering with them and go to KingdomBuildersPlaza.org and sow into this ministry. Now I'm not gonna do it any other way than that. Amen. You come partner with people. You go to God and you talk to God about how to partner with them. But we want you to come to KingdomBuildersPlaza.org, and sow into this ministry to help us keep this word flowing. 24 hours a day. Let's move it on. Let's move it forward that we might continue to advance the kingdom. Well, you've got all the contact information. You've got the word of God for you to sit on, which means to pause and reflect on and think about. So we just want to tell you that we love you in the name of Jesus. We thank God for you coming and sharing with us once again. And we pray that God's will provides opportunity, we will see you or talk to you all next week. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name.